Welcome to Trinity Church. This week's podcast is from our recent Sunday morning service. You can also visit trinitychurch.life for more podcasts and videos of recent sermons.
Our reading today is from Judges chapter 6, verses 7 through 16. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, 'I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live.' But you have not listened to me. The angel of the Lord came down and sat under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' 'Pardon me, my lord,' Gideon replied, 'but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, "Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?" But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian.' The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?' 'Pardon me, my lord,' Gideon replied, 'but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family.' The Lord answered, 'I will be with you.'" The word of the Lord.
Morning. It's really my pleasure to be here. I work for an organization called International Justice Mission, among one of the many organizations that are represented here for Trinity Serve Sunday. It's great to be able to worship together as one church in one room, and I have been a friend and a fan of Trinity Church for many, many years, and so it's really a pleasure for me to be able to be here in front of all of you. And I'd like to say, first of all, just congratulations. The fact that you were able to hit a number that seemed unattainable, I am a math major, and I'm telling you that that's phenomenal. So great job. And really, just I think this really goes to the recognition that this is not just one person, but that this is one church that's able to accomplish things like that. And the fact that this generosity is to accomplish great and wonderful things, to reach new people in Connecticut, to reach new people in the New England area, really is just brings a smile, I'm sure, to all of your hearts as we were all a part of that together. Today, I wanted to talk about this passage that we read, that was read for us by Mitch in Judges chapter 6. Now, if you're familiar with this story, this is a book in the Old Testament called Judges, and Judges has this one section, this one story of Gideon. And Gideon may be a familiar story to you. If you're not familiar with this story, I encourage you to read this story in Judges. I'm not able to just cover the whole story, but there really is just so many different things that God brings to light through this story of Gideon. And I want to talk about a few of these interactions that Gideon has with God in Judges chapter 6. So I want to tell you about this man, Gideon. Now, Gideon lived during a time of injustice. He lived during a time of oppression, and he lived during a time of violence against his people. You see, the Israelites were being oppressed by the Midianites. In Judges 6, the Israelites were being oppressed by the Midianites. They were being the victims of their violence in this time. The Midianites came and they took their food, they took them from their homes, and they took their dignity. And it got so bad that the Israelites cry out to the Lord for help. They cry out to the Lord and they say, Lord, will you please show up and take care of this problem? And then the Lord does show up, which is an amazing thing in and of itself. And the Lord appears to Gideon and he says to him, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior, which should be funny to you and to me. If this were a sitcom, this would be where they cue the laugh track and cut to commercial. Because the irony of God of the universe saying to Gideon that you're a mighty warrior should be funny. And I don't want us to miss this. You see, Gideon is anything but mighty, and he's anything but a warrior. In fact, he says of himself, my clan's the weakest, and I'm the weakest in my clan. In other words, Gideon is the runt. Right? I mean, he's the guy who gets picked last in gym class, right? He's the one when there's an odd number of teams that, like, he doesn't actually get picked, right? He just ends up walking over to one side. This is who Gideon is. And imagine God saying to Gideon that you are a mighty warrior. Gideon is the guy who's, like, the oldest person at the kiddie table at Thanksgiving because he doesn't quite make it to the adult table, but you understand this is who God says, you are a mighty warrior. But Gideon gets angry at God and he says, the Lord is with us. Well, if the Lord is with us, why has all of this injustice happened to us? You say the Lord is with us. Well, why has all of this oppression and violence plagued our people? Why are we being oppressed? You see, his conclusion is that if oppression exists, God must be far away. And isn't it interesting that as soon as things don't go Gideon's way, he starts questioning God? As soon as a job is lost or a relationship is broken, we say, if God were with then none of this would have happened. So Gideon wants God to deal with this issue. God, you're the one who can deal with this issue of injustice. And I'm sure if we could hear Gideon's inner monologue, it would sound something like this. Well, God, it's really nice of you that you showed up. Now, what are you going to do about this problem? Don't you care about what is going on? What are you going to do? You see, Gideon's complaint to God is, what are you going to do about this, and don't you care? And God's answer is a little bit surprising. Because in Judges, he says, am I not sending you? God says, I know what is going on. I care about what's going on, and I will do something about it. I send you. You see, the principle here is that when there is a problem of injustice, when there is a problem of violence and oppression, God does care. And God does do something about it. God sends us. God sends his people, his church, his body into the heart of injustice and oppression. Now, you've probably heard the phrase, when you see something, say something. But the principle here in Judges is actually when you see something, you gotta do something. When you see injustice, when you see oppression, when you see vulnerable people being oppressed, you gotta do something about it. It's not enough to just look at that and say to God, well, God, really, that's unfair. That's not right. God, you should really do something about that. That may be exactly the moment that you hear God saying to you, am I not sending you into the heart of oppression, in the heart of the vulnerable people in your community? God sends us. Now, I'd like to take a moment and talk to you about a boy named Gideon. This Gideon is different than the Gideon that we've been reading about in Judges. This Gideon lives in Ghana. Now, this Gideon is one who faces injustice from his oppressors every day as well. He has also been robbed of his freedom and his home and his dignity. This boy, Gideon, is a victim of modern-day slavery. Now, modern-day slavery is when you have people in power next to people in poverty, which creates an atmosphere where exploitation and, at worst, enslavement can occur. It's using lies or violence to force someone to work for little or to no pay, and even though it is illegal in every country, there are children, women, and men forced to work as slaves in brick factories, rice mills, and fishing boats throughout the world. The current estimates as of today are that there are 40 million enslaved people throughout the world. Now, 40 million people is a little bit hard for us to understand as a scale. What does that number actually mean? So let me help you break this down, what this number 40 million means. If you took the population of the state of Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey, and Rhode Island, and Massachusetts, and Vermont, and New Hampshire, and Maine. If you took the population of these eight states, it's approximately 40 million people. Now, you would think that if those eight states were only populated with enslaved people, certainly the world would know about it, and that they would be angry about it, and that they would do something about it. And yet somehow, 40 million people have slipped under the radar, and the world, for the most part, doesn't know about it, is not angered by it, and is not doing enough about it. These 40 million people are children, women, and men spread throughout the world. I work for an organization called IJM, International Justice Mission. And we work in nearly 20 cities around the world working on the front lines of putting an end to slavery and sex trafficking. And IJM and Trinity Church have been partners together in this work for many, many years. In fact, I looked in our database. The first gift and first partnership was way back in 2001. And so that is just a sign of the generosity of this church, is not just from 2019, but it goes back many, many, many years. And so I'm just here to say thank you to you as a church, whether you have known that or not, but also just to be able to signal the great work that God has been doing through our partnership over these many years. It is no exaggeration to say that there are people that are free today because of the partnership with Trinity Church. In the work of working on the front lines of ending slavery is where we met Gideon. This boy, Gideon, spends every day on this lake called Lake Volta in Ghana. Lake Volta is the largest man-made lake in the world. And Gideon spends 12 to 16 hours a day, every day, on this lake because he was trafficked by a man who took him from his mother when he was only 8 years old. But Gideon is only one of 10,000 boys on Lake Volta that are enslaved, many of them just 5 or 6 years old. These young boys must dive into the water and untangle the nets from the forest of trees submerged in the lake. You remember, it's a man-made lake, and so any trees or shrubs or anything that was there beforehand is still there, just submerged under the water. And so when you throw a fishing net into the water, it can very easily get tangled into the nets. And the reason why little boys are used most often is actually because their little fingers can fix the tears in the nets, and their slender bodies can navigate through the nooks and crannies of these trees that are submerged in the lake. But the fact of the matter is, the main reason why little boys are used is because little boys don't hit back. The conditions on the lake are treacherous. They're The children are sick and diseased because of parasites. They are beaten by their masters. We have seen boys having been rescued with everything from malaria to broken arms. Now, before we opened up our field office in Ghana, we send our undercover investigators onto the lake to do an assessment, to do a baseline prevalence study of slavery on the lake. And we interviewed over 1,000 kids, and what we found was shocking. We found that approximately 60% of the children were enslaved. 60% of the children that we interviewed were there against their will. And one of the most harrowing encounters that we faced during that investigation was when our investigators first met Gideon.
I found it to be one of the most horrific things that we had seen in the work that we do. When we got here, we interviewed over 1,000 kids and saw them in the most horrible condition on these boats, working anywhere from 10 to 18 hours a day, physically abused in the most awful ways, not fed, the majority of them sick. And we knew that this was something that IGM had to impact, since few, if any, people were actually doing so. All of those kids up to that point were very, very exhausted. They were very reluctant to speak to us for fear of their owners, except for Gideon. And as we pulled up next to him, he immediately reached out to me and begged me to take him out of the situation, saying that the man that was his owner was, as he called him, wicked and had beaten him every day since he had been with the man for 11 years. And Gideon described being hungry and just wanting more than anything to get off the boat. And something about Gideon just connected with me more than any of the other children, such that having to leave him that day and continue our assessment pretty much haunted me for the next year and a half.
Gideon represents 40 million people. So he is not just a boy on a lake in Ghana. He is a man in a factory in India, and he's a girl in a brothel in Cambodia. And he's a little child exploited online in the Philippines. There are 40 million people around the world that are crying out for justice. Now let's take a moment and go back to the story of Gideon in Judges one more time. Because see, God, after God sends Gideon, God says, am I not sending you? Gideon's not done questioning God's judgment. He says, well, pardon me, my Lord, but how can I save Israel? How can I be the one, Gideon, be the one to save Israel? In a sense, he's saying like, I mean, did you do your homework? Like, do you know who I am? I'm the runt. Like, ask literally anyone and they'll tell you who I am. You have the wrong guy. And in other words, like Gideon's giving God all of the reasons why he's not the one, why this is not his fight, while this is not the moment, this is not the time. I have a lot of things going on and, you know, my money is tied up and my time is taken up with my kids. Like, I just can't do those things, God. Like, this is not the right time. But listen to God's response in verse 16. He says, I will be with you. See, God says, I'm sending you, but then he says, I will be with you. And if you look at the overall story in Judges chapter 6, God is saying the same God that brought you up out of Egypt, the same God that delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians, the same God that freed you from slavery, that God will be with you. So the comfort for God to Gideon is not, I'll do it. And it's not, well, you better do it. No, what he says is, I will be with you as you do it, as we do it together. In other words, God sends us, but God stays with us. God sends us into the heart of oppression, but he stays with us through that process. In fact, throughout Scripture, whenever God's people were asked to do a hard or a difficult or seemingly impossible thing, God's comfort to them was always, I will be with you. The call that God sends us and that he stays with us is something that my colleagues and I at IJM take very seriously. We cannot simply sit by and watch 40 million of the world's poor be exploited and enslaved by the powerful. And we've committed ourselves to bringing freedom to the oppressed. And we will not stop until all are free. But we also take comfort in the fact that God stays with us in that process, because we know that this is his work and that he is the one who allows us to do it with him, through him, alongside him. At IJM, our model to bring an end to slavery is this. We go after rescuing the victims. So our investigators partner with police to rescue the victims. And then our aftercare workers partner with social services to restore the survivors, because we recognize that they must be restored to health and wholeness. And then we are lawyers that partner with prosecutors to restrain the criminals in the communities. What we've realized is that it is not enough to rescue the victim unless you are able to arrest the perpetrator. Because if you just rescue a victim, you will end slavery for that individual, but you will not end slavery in that community. You will not end slavery in that city. But it's when you arrest slave owners that creates a deterrence of the crime that cascades way beyond just the person who is arrested. And as we do this, we partner on all levels of the government to repair justice systems. In fact, in many places around the world, IJM has essentially worked ourselves out of jobs because we recognize that the government has stepped up and began to do the work of anti-trafficking that we had been working alongside of them for many years. And so once the government steps up to do the work, because they're the ones who have the will and the capacity and the resources and ultimately the authority to do so, we move our resources to other areas. So you remember Gideon. As our investigator encountered Gideon on the lake that day, he had to sail away from Gideon because our investigators were there undercover. They were doing a baseline prevalence study. They were not there to rescue one slave. They were not there to end slavery for Gideon. They were there to end slavery on the whole lake. And part of that was staying undercover and doing a baseline prevalence study. And as much as it haunted our investigator for a year and a half to have to sail away and leave Gideon in his enslavement, a year and a half later, when we opened up our field office and we conducted our first rescue operation, our investigator asked that we could call that rescue operation Operation Gideon.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
On March 27th of 2015, Gideon was rescued, along with nine other boys, and they're being restored back to health and back to society. Because God sends us into the heart of injustice, and we saw something and did something for those 10 boys. Now, if you know something about the story of Gideon in Judges, you know that God ends up using Gideon eventually to bring victory over the Midianites for the Israelites. And so the final promise for us is that as God sends us and stays with us, God will save through us. God will save through us. And so we understand that when we take the step of obeying God and walking towards the heart of oppression and the heart of the vulnerable people around us, we know that God will do the work that he has called us to do. In fact, in our history at IJM, we have seen this model work over and over and over again. And in our history, we've seen over 49,000 victims rescued. That's 49,000 stories just like Gideon's, making IJM the largest anti-slavery organization in the world. Because God sends us, he stays with us, and he eventually saves through us. Trinity Church, my challenge to you this morning is that there are 36 organizations that are represented here on the other side of these curtains. And, you know, I'm trying to end my sermon short to be able to give us as much time as we can to be able to go and get to know some of these organizations. Because the challenge for you to step into the heart of injustice, the challenge for us is to look around and see the vulnerable people in our lives. And that answer for you, maybe through an organization on the other side of those curtains. It may be an organization like World Relief, or Remember New, or PET, or Young Life, or Inner Varsity. It may be one of those organizations, and my challenge to you today is don't leave. Don't go home, back to our suburban lifestyle. It's where I live too. But don't go back to our suburban homes without finding out the story of a vulnerable person that we can take a step. Because we believe that God has sent us, but he will stay with us. And eventually, he will bring. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given to us, God. We are challenged by the story that we have heard, not just of Gideon in Judges, but also of Gideon in Ghana. We're marveling at the faithfulness that the same God of Gideon in Judges is the same God of Gideon in Ghana, which is the same God right here in Greenwich. God, would you allow your people to hear your call to take a step towards someone who is vulnerable and needs your touch and your salvation? God, as we remember the table, we remember what Christ has done for us, that you sent Christ, and that he, through his obedience of taking step towards us, brought salvation to each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you'd like to check out some more about Trinity, you can visit our website at www.trinitychurch.life.